It is Pentecost Sunday, and so that's what we want to celebrate today. Praise the Lord. I'm sure you've caught on to that already. Praise God. What a wonderful thing that the wonderful, most wondrous thing that God could do for his church, amen, was to empower his church to serve him. Amen. That's what he did, and he sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So we know that the Holy Spirit was sent, and people were gathered from all over the known world at that time to celebrate the day of Pentecost, which means a harvest festival. And so on the harvest festival, the priest would take a sheaf from the crop and wave it for the Lord, which was symbolized of a great harvest to come. On this particular day, though, there would be a great harvest of souls born into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. I know you weren't expecting that at a Pentecostal church, Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Let's notice the scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 1 and 8, if you want to back up one page. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the scriptures today that you've given unto us. I thank the Lord for your Holy Spirit. All that we have is what you have given. I pray your anointing upon your servant to speak the word, upon your people to hear. Help us all, Lord, to receive that which we need, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. And we're just going to, I don't know a better name to call this sermon except just Pentecost. When the word Pentecost is mentioned, it means various things to various people. Amen. It actually means harvest. But to many people, especially people that are outside the realm of Pentecost, it means many, many things. Some people picture Pentecostals as just people that just get crazy about their worship. Amen. And, oh my. I had one guy that hadn't hardly ever been to church. He told me one time, he said, I lived across the street from a Pentecostal church, and so he didn't understand anything about God or Pentecost. And he said, we used to sit over here and listen to the Pentecostals beat their wives. Well, that's not what we do here. He was just confused about people getting excited about the Lord, and that's what he said. But there's many people that will view Pentecost as something crazy or something really out there. It's not really out there. It's right here in the book. Praise the Lord. And so it was a festival when people gathered from all over the nation, all Jewish people from everywhere. They would come for this Feast of Pentecost. And so they would come, they would celebrate. And such was the case here in the second chapter of Acts. People were gathered from all over the place. And they had come from every nation. And it names all the nations there in verses 9 and 10, and 11, if you want to read those. And so we find that there were people gathered here, and they would all experience the outpouring of God's Spirit upon the 120 that were in the upper room. And that would not stop in the upper room. It would be a wonderful message. Peter would preach a message on the death, burial, resurrection of God, and upon the Spirit of the Lord as well. And so Pentecost among the Jews, it was applied to one of the three great feasts a year on the 50th day after the Passover. That's what Pentecost really means, is 50th. So, because it was celebrated 50 days after the Feast of Passover. It was also a harvest festival, and accordingly called the Feast of Harvest. The fact is mentioned that the time the Pentecost had come or fully had arrived to account for what related afterwards. Because there were so many strangers and foreigners here, amen, at this time in Jerusalem. But let's notice here the message In the first verse, it says that they were all with one accord in one place. And this would be about 120 of them. They were in one accord in one place. That's a miracle in itself. You can't hardly ever get 120 people in one accord in one place. Same mindset, there for the same goal. But they were, as a work of God. They were all gathered for one purpose. And they were unified that they wanted to receive the Spirit baptism that God, that Jesus had promised so many times in his earthly ministry. You know, when people are unified, they can accomplish so much. When a football team's unified, they can maybe win. When there's disunity, nobody wins. But when a church is unified and filled with the Holy Spirit, much can be accomplished for the kingdom of God. When there's not any unity, little or nothing can be done. But here are 120 people gathered to receive what Jesus had promised. Amen. Jesus had plainly told them in Scripture, he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Amen. Another comforter, meaning one of the same kind. And another, the comforter here means, he's called more than just the comforter. He's comforted in some translations. He's called the comforter, the helper, the counselor. He's all of these. You cannot describe the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, in two or three words. He's God. Amen. And so, this would be the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit would come. Amen. And so the word for comforter, Greek parakletos, means one called alongside to help. So he surely is the comforter, the helper, the counselor, and you need him. Praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And so the church would begin here. With the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church could not function. It could not go forward unless the Holy Spirit was there. And Jesus would not leave them without someone to help them. And that would be the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit would come, sent from heaven. Amen. And the church would begin here. They needed help. They needed counsel. They needed comfort. They needed God's power to begin a work that would reach worldwide. And you say, well, how come so much emphasis put on this at the beginning of the church here? Let me tell you something. This would be a work that would challenge Satan's evil kingdom. It would challenge evil everywhere, because everywhere the Holy Spirit would be poured out, there would be people that would be delivered from sin. They would be delivered from things they could not get deliverance from any other way. There would be people there that would be bound, not just in Jerusalem, but wherever these people, 120, would go to preach the gospel. There would be people who would be so addicted to sinful things that they could not be set free by any other means. It would take God to set them free. And so God would fill his people with the Holy Spirit so that they could bring a message of hope and love and comfort to people that didn't have any. Praise the Lord. And so they needed God's power to begin a work that would reach worldwide. And Satan would be challenged. Amen. He'd already been bound at the cross. Praise the Lord. Jesus conquered sin and death at the cross. Conquered death in his resurrection. And now people everywhere could receive Christ and have power to live for Christ. Amen. And this would be not only one accord in one place, but this would be a powerful visitation from God. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Amen. This was unlike any sound in the natural world. Amen. There's many natural sounds we hear every day. Somebody complained to me about somebody gossiping about them one time, and I said, well, you know, cows move, dogs bark, and people talk. But this was no sound that they were familiar with. This was a sound from heaven. This was God speaking to people. This was God addressing humanity, which he was never obligated to do, but he did. And it would be a powerful sound. Amen. And power, if we look at it in just an illustration here, power can be used in at least two ways. It can be used more than two, but two that we think of. It can be unloosed or it can be harnessed. Power can. Just imagine here if I have a 10-gallon can of gasoline. If I do nothing, it'll just remain a 10-gallon gas. 10-gallon can of gasoline. But if I strike a little match and drop it on that can of gasoline, you're going to get a reaction. You're going to get a demonstration of power there, explosive. But on the other hand, gasoline can be channeled through a vehicle in a controlled burn and can be used to transport people. Man, that's why many in here have car payments, because it works. But that's a controlled burn. And explosions are spectacular because, but controlled burns have lasting effect and staying power. An example here, the power of the Holy Spirit works both ways. At Pentecost, there was almost an explosion, you could say, on the scene when His presence filled that house. Everyone was affected. No one was left out. And it said here there were tongues of fire and one set upon each of them. It's the only place in the Scripture where it was literal and visible that tongues of fire set upon each of them. And thousands would be affected by the outburst of God's power and the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, He also works through the church institution. And God began to tap the Holy Spirit's power for the long haul. It was just not something that just happened one day on the day of Pentecost and that's it. It wasn't just for the disciples. It wasn't just for the 120 in the upper room. Amen. Miracles were not just for people until the apostles died. No, miracles still happen today. I'm one of them. You're one of them if you're born again. Praise the Lord. And so God's still working in His church today, and God still works by His Holy Spirit. And yes, it seemed like an explosion because it happened on the day of Pentecost. Everyone was affected, but it didn't stop there because it was a lingering, continuing work of God. The Holy Spirit was in the church. Amen. And God's work is not just an explosion in us. God's work of the Holy Spirit, when He baptizes somebody in the Holy Spirit, is not just for that one-time experience. It's to give us staying power to continue on this long haul down the road to heaven. Praise the Lord. I do not know when Jesus comes. I hope He'll come today, but if He doesn't, amen. God's Holy Spirit is here with us for the long haul, whatever it takes. Praise the Lord. And so, we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can see the effects of the Holy Spirit everywhere. You can't see wind. There was a sound like of a rushing mighty wind. And the natural wind is a very powerful force of nature that cannot be controlled by anybody. Amen. You can warm the globe all day long, but you can't control the wind. We cannot control the natural forces of this world. And wind blows buildings down sometimes, causes tsunamis, can destroy homes, can cause death even. And the natural force of wind. You can't see wind, but you can sure see what wind does. And I can't see the Holy Spirit, but I can sure see what He does. You can experience what He does in your personal life. You can experience what He does to other people. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. So there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house everywhere where they were sitting. There was no question in the 120's mind that God was there. None of them had to form a committee to see whether or not this was real. Amen. God was there. It filled the whole house everywhere where they were sitting. And so, it would fill the place. Those 120 would know that God was there. They would be forever affected by the work of God. And it would move them. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, they could not be stationary. They had to move and carry this gospel to everyone. Just as Jesus told them to do and told us to do. Because you see, Pentecost didn't stop with the book of Acts. It goes on until Jesus comes. It keeps going. Jesus said to them, Mark chapter 16, He said, "Go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe in My name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Contrary to what anybody thinks, they will speak with new tongues. "They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I believe God is still in the miracle working business. It didn't pass away with the apostles. Amen. The world, whatever the world needed then, it needs now. And we need Christ. We need the fullness of His Holy Spirit. We don't need to just mention the Holy Spirit as something that happened long ago. I want to tell you the baptism, the overflowing of God's Spirit in you is for today. It's for you personally, every one of you, not certain select ones. But God wants to fill and overflow the life of every believer. Hallelujah. So it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Amen. Something else would happen here. There appeared to them dividing tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. Literally and visibly, this fire would set upon each of them. And fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. It was Moses who experienced God's presence in a burning bush, but the bush never burned up. And God would speak to him from the midst of the burning bush. And it was so holy and so powerful that Moses would have to take his shoes off because it was holy ground. And God commissioned Moses there to go in to lead Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And so we know that fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We just preached last Sunday or two about Elijah and with the prophets of Baal. And Elijah prayed a simple prayer and fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. In the midst or in the face of all the false prophets of Baal and all of the backslidden Israel. And they saw the fire of God and they were so affected they would fall on their face and say, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." So fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And here God uses this fire. And in the natural, fire is consuming if not put out. That's the reason we have fire people. Amen. Put out fires, because if something isn't done about the fire to put it out in the natural sense, that it'll continue to burn until it burns everything up. And so fire is natural, it's consuming, it's not put out. But if fire is propelled by wind, it'll surely burn a lot longer and spread. But spiritually, this fire would burn until Jesus comes. These 120 would be so consumed with this fire that it would spread to the end of the earth. They would reach and testify to the known world their day of what Jesus did on the cross. It would empower them to preach the gospel of Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His return to the whole world at that time. It's not that they reached everybody. They didn't. We still haven't reached everybody. But I want to tell you something. We're doing our best to do what Jesus said, and that's to reach to the end of the earth and proclaim this gospel. That's the reason we send missionaries everywhere. And we can then people have a call of God upon their life. They're willing to go places that you and I would never go unless we knew that God had called us. But I'm thankful that this gospel of the kingdom be carried to the ends of the earth, and it can be done so because God empowers people by His Spirit to do just that. Hallelujah. Okay. And it says, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This filling of the Holy Spirit was separate and subsequent to salvation. Being baptized in the Spirit is not the same as being born and birthed of the Spirit. These 120 were already saved. They'd seen the resurrected Christ. They believed His work and His death, His burial, His resurrection on the cross. They believed that the blood was atonement for their sins. They believed that they were saved as you can be saved. They couldn't get more saved. Amen. Heard somebody say one time that if you only got saved and you didn't get baptized and you didn't speak in tongues, you were only partially saved. Amen. I don't know if they partially go to hell or I don't know. But if you're saved, you can't be more saved. You're born again of God's Spirit. But new birth is one thing. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is another thing. And this is confirmed in the third chapter of Matthew where John the Baptist comes preaching in the wilderness of Judea and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he begins to preach to them and he says, you wouldn't like John the Baptist preaching very much. He says, "You generation of vipers, it's time to repent." That's what John the Baptist says. Amen. Then John the Baptist says, when Jesus comes, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It was going to be powerful. So Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so it was separate and subsequent to salvation. They were already saved, born of the Spirit, and now they would be baptized in the Spirit. They would be empowered by the Spirit to take this gospel to the world. Today, people even in the church are filled with everything except the Spirit many times. Amen. Our generation is filled with iPhone, iPad, Twitter, Instagram, information age of every kind. Many people can't even make it through church without their cell phone. If that's you this morning, I'm not sending you a message on your cell phone. I'm sending you one from right here. But let me give you some information in this information age. Jesus still saves the worst and the vilest of sinners. Jesus still heals the sick. And Jesus still fills people with the Holy Spirit the way he did on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus hadn't changed. And he still wishes that every believer be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit, not as somebody else, but as the Spirit gives the utterance. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. They begin to speak with other tongues, other languages, actually. Languages not naturally learned. And it was the languages of the people that were gathered to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. Do you want an interpretation of tongues here? Let's get the interpretation of tongues here. It lists all the names of people and languages that were from there. Verse 8. How we hear that everyone in our language, we were born. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs. Here's the interpretation. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Amen. The wonderful works of God. They no doubt were delivering a message through that of the work of Christ on the cross. Amen. They were no doubt through tongues. They were speaking to every language. Amen. The gospel was already going forth to every nation, every tribe, every tongue that was mentioned here. And they would hear the gospel message of Christ. And if that wasn't enough, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, would get up and preach a powerful message in which 3,000 souls would be won into the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, the power of Pentecost was real this day. Hallelujah, still real. Lord. So they began to speak with other tongues. Amen. Languages not naturally learned. You say, well, I'm just not comfortable with that. Let me give you a little advice. Get uncomfortable. Because God will take you from a place to where you are, to where you need to be. And they were speaking the wonderful works of God, and when you begin to worship and to praise the Lord, God is able to fill you with a language where you can praise and worship God in a language not naturally learned, just like they did here on the day of Pentecost. And so it's not for everybody. Yes, it is. For everyone. I'll prove it. Praise God. I believe it's what's missing in the church today. We may be filled with everything but the Spirit, but we need to be filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit baptism here is for both young and old. Every color, every race, every tribe, every tongue. Amen. I got to tell this. My sister, years ago, she was preaching at a church that was largely Hispanic. That's fine. But when she called, and my sister is notorious for preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She's preaching on it somewhere this morning, I can tell you that. And people generally get baptized in the Holy Spirit. God just uses her in that powerful manner. But she told me, I was preaching this church, and said this Spanish person said they began speaking in tongues. And I said, what were they saying? She said, well, I kind of got a few words, maybe. I said, they weren't speaking in tongues. They were speaking to you in Spanish. And she said, I prayed with them again, and said they began to speak in a language not naturally learned. God can do that. Praise the Lord. And so the baptism was for not just for the 120, but for the young and the old. It's for us today. If you read Acts chapter 2, verse 38, move on down the chapter. And Peter said to them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So Peter's message here was repent and be baptized. Now, these were Old Testament people in the sense that they understood things of the Old Testament. They knew who the Holy Spirit was because the Holy Spirit's mentioned in the Old Testament, but they didn't accept Jesus as the Son of God. That's where their problem was. And so to be baptized in the name of Jesus would to be fully identified that Christ was the Son of God. So they had to do that to be saved. Amen. Baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And notice this is for everybody. For this promise is to you and to your children, to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. That sounds to me like the baptism of the Spirit for everybody. Praise the Lord. I've seen it happen many times. I've experienced it myself. Amen. And I speak in tongues probably on a daily basis, not just so I can say I spoke in tongues, but God's Spirit begins to move upon you and you begin to worship God and you begin to worship Him and God fills your heart with a language. Amen. You say, well, does it take control of you and start speaking for you? No, they spoke with other tongues. You do the speaking, but God will fill your heart with His Word. Amen. And so they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so this is not a new thing. This has happened so many times over the years. It's happened to Baptists. It's happened to Methodists. It's happened to Assembly of God. Still needs to happen to all three of them and many more. Thank God for it. And the baptism for the young and old keeps the church on fire for God if people regularly are filled and refilled with God's Holy Spirit. Sadly today, too many people in the Pentecostal church have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Or we hear this story too often. I was filled with the Spirit 30 years ago, so I've got the baptism. Yes, you might have had it then, but 30 years ago is not soon enough. You need to be continually filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we get on with the Baptists for saying once saved, always saved. What about us Pentecostals? Some of us believe once filled, always filled. No, you got to keep on up. You got to have an up-to-date experience in God. Filled with the Spirit, need to be refilled continually. Praise God. What did Paul tell the church at Ephesus? He said, be not drunken with wine, which is excess. Amen. But be filled with the Spirit. That means, in the original language, it means keep on being filled with the Spirit. Not just a one-time experience. Amen. We need to go on. Praise the Lord. If you're married today, how would you like for your companion to tell you, I told you I loved you when I married you. It's been 40 years ago and I hadn't told you since, but I'll let you know if I ever change my mind. It wouldn't go over very good. They need to hear it today. And we need to be refilled with God's Spirit today and tomorrow and the next day. We need to let God's presence fill our hearts and our lives. There is nothing we need more than what God has to offer. And what He has to offer is the best there is anywhere. Praise the Lord. God the Holy Spirit wants to fill the heart and the life of every person, every believer. Man, praise the Lord.